thinking about it because I grew up with a lot of trauma. I have a adverse childhood experiences score of 6, which is high. So I've got more than 45 chronic diseases that are increased associated with the exposure to trauma that I had as a child. And that includes, you know, divorced parents when I was a year old and some other things that the ACE questionnaire, which was originally developed by the Centers for Disease Control and Kaiser Permanente. This is something that everyone can measure. You can just Google the ACE questionnaire. Maybe we can link to it in the show notes. So I want everyone to know their ACE score. But once you know your ACE score, and you really want to look at, okay, who did I have to be to get love and attention as a child? And that then helps you understand how your authentic self started to split off into this persona.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Girlfriend Doctor Show. And I have one of my dearest girlfriends, Dr. Sarah, is here with me today. And today we're going to talk about a not so easy topic, and that is trauma and how it affects us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, how it can affect our immune system, and how it can affect our quality of life and longevity as well. So first, I would like to introduce you to Sarah. If you do not know her, she is amazing. And Sarah, tell a little bit about your background.
Well, my background's like your background. We both did residency training in obstetrics and gynecology. We both turned left and went the route of, okay, conventional medicine is failing so many of us. We've got to do something much grander, much bigger, and much more holistic in terms of offering patients a way through just the mess of our healthcare system. And we both really focus on hormones. So I love your work on oxytocin. I love the work that you do in the world. Just being around this woman just fills you with oxytocin. So I just really adore that about you. And like you, I also write books. I've got a new book coming out called The Autoimmune Cure. It's my 6th book. So I've got 4 New York Times bestsellers. And it's really exciting to be talking about this next book.
And seriously, too, with Sarah also, a pioneer in hormones and menopause and the hormonal changes that occur with age. And the, you know, here you have 2 women that have been through menopause. And
well, I'm still in perimenopause.
Perimenopause.
I'm ovulating, girl.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
I'm ready for it to be over.
No. A marker of longevity, for sure. That's good ovulating. At 56 is when I finally went into menopause. So that was after journeying from age 39, being early menopause, then 48, cycling through just really another bout of menopausal journey of the perimenopause and going months and months without a period. So what do you attribute continuing to ovulate now at 56?
Clean living. I think you and I talk a lot about the components of a lifestyle that really allows you to step fully into your life, allows you to feel like you're aging with as much grace as possible. So you and I did a boxing workout with a trainer this morning. I love your trainer, Mike. Hi, Mike. He even let me play some of, you know, my Cardi B and Nicki Minaj. I so appreciate that. And you allowed me to do that, even though some of the lyrics were explicit.
I know.
I've and
had my, you know. Yeah.
It kept reverting to your playlist, like Maroon 5 and that kind of thing. All good. But yeah, what do I attribute to? I think it's, well, you and I both have gone through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I think getting super clear about the kind of life partner that you want, feeling utterly safe with the person that you choose to have as your primary relationship, I think that's a big piece. Eating in a way that is really nourishing your DNA and nourishing that epigenetic effect that your food can have, being pulled by purpose and meaning, you know, having the kind of restorative sleep that really allows you to get up in the morning feeling like, oh my gosh, that was the best night's sleep. I can really, you know, dive into motherhood and sharing my message with the world and being my best self. So, you know, those are just a few of the pillars, but what did I miss?
I think that whole about having a purpose, you know, and having a practice in faith, a practice in spirituality, having that outward extension of yourself, giving to others, That's a huge, and all of those things increase oxytocin. So giving to others, contributing, having a life that has meaning. And I think that is really what keeps us going. And in so many ways, it's a powerful motivating force, is knowing that, okay, well, you know, there are people that are relying on me, but yet I won't be able to help them if I'm not helping myself, right?
It's critical. And I think what often happens, what I see working with, I work with both men and women, I see how often childhood trauma or even toxic stress or traumatic experience as an adult can get in the way of that. Mm-hmm. And can lead to something that you and I were talking about this morning. This morning, I was feeling a little like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed. I've got so much going on. I've got, you know, all of this patient care all day long. And then I'm here in Dallas to support my daughter and to help her go through Rush. And she is my top priority, blah, blah, blah. And it's a little bit of at the effect of, you know, kind of these things are happening to me. And when we get into that mindset, that growth mindset, that you and I, you know, talk about every time we step out the door and go on a long walk, that mindset really makes a difference. And yet there can be an obstacle to that mindset, which is often trauma. So this next book is about trauma and how it can affect the psychoimmunoneuroendocrine network and lead to things like autoimmunity. But it can also lead to chronic hormone problems. It can lead to difficulty holding this kind of mindset that we're talking about. Have you seen that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the biggest piece is that sense of autoimmunity, your body fighting itself. It's that, you know, battle that is an internal battle. And it is the same aspect to treat that is internal as well. And so recognizing that piece is that there's so much internal controls that we can have to improve our autoregulation and our autoimmune system that we don't talk about in modern medicine. What you're leading with and what you're proposing and what you're writing about in this book, it's on the cutting edge. It is not modern medicine. It is not standard medical care. Physicians are not being taught this. And our patients that we see, whether they're the top executives from leading, you know, top Fortune 500 firms or wherever they come from, they're not getting this type of care and they're struggling. I see, you know, client just yesterday who had significant issues with viral autoimmune issues, but also a exacerbation of viral titers, Epstein-Barr, cytomegalovirus. She says all her life she's been healthy. She doesn't know how she got these things. And it's been a constant struggle. And it, when it comes to looking at all these external forces and internal forces, that to know that it's very empowering when no matter what you're dealing with, that there's something you can do to make an improvement. So I think that's a big piece of certainly what I continue to learn and continue to strive to do. And then also some of the empowerment pieces that, you know, it comes down to us. It comes down to the, and it's really beautiful. You guys, it's beautiful spending time with Sarah. So waking up this morning and she was already out taking her daughter to Rush Week.
She woke me up at 5:45 this morning and I'm on California time.
And then I come back from driving my daughter to school and I run upstairs. I'm like, Sarah, you're doing boxing with me. And she's like, oh, and she did. And it was so much fun. It like made me work out 10 times harder.
She's a really good boxer.
I love boxing.
She's incredible. So inspiring. Yeah, you're making such an important point, which is, you know, when I started writing this book, I went through about 2,500 scientific articles to just see where are we. And there's so much in the literature, even though modern conventional medicine is not looking at some of these things we're talking about. There's so much in the literature about how right now we've got 24, 25 million Americans who struggle with autoimmune disease. And that's classic autoimmune disease, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, all of those things that we think of as autoimmune disease. And there's so many more now that fit into that category of attacking your self tissues with the pandemic that we've just made it through. Mm-hmm. And we know that people with autoimmune disease end up seeing 4 to 6 doctors before they get a correct diagnosis. They're struggling for, you know, sometimes years, 4 to 7 years before they get a correct diagnosis. And you and I both practice functional medicine and integrative medicine. And we know that you can see it in the bloodstream years before that. And so that's the time that you want to intervene. That's the time when you want to make a difference, because if you wait until the disease develops, yep, it's harder to reverse.
Right. And I think one of the big issues is thyroid. Thyroid issues, thyroiditis, nodular thyroid. I had a 26-year-old patient in my office yesterday for a follow-up. When I first saw her, she'd been complaining of, you know, fatigue and chronic illnesses and been to many doctors before she came to me, including an endocrinologist and an internist. And, you know, one look at her and I was like, you've got thyroid issues. I could see the goiter, and then I palpated her thyroid. I could feel nodules. And so I sent her for a thyroid ultrasound and it came back with thyroid nodules. They call it a BI-RADS 2 or something like that. That, you know, not, doesn't look like cancer. We recommend following up in 6 months. I took it downstairs to an endocrinologist. He said, yeah, I think we just follow up with an ultrasound in 6 months. She went to another Texas Baylor endocrinologist and he said, yeah, we'll run some more labs, but I think we'll just follow it. And I said, that is modern medicine. Let's just follow it until we diagnose you with something versus let's understand why you're having this, what's happening in your physiology, why, like, what are they waiting for, thyroid storm, or what are they waiting for? I mean, I don't understand, and it blows my mind. I'd love you to talk a bit about that too.
I'm so glad you raised that case because it's such a common situation that we see. And I remember being in conventional training. You and I both went through conventional training where we would get an ultrasound like that, mm-hmm, and we would say, okay, everything's fine, see you back in 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then you and I both went through integrated medicine, functional medicine training to learn that, oh, no. We want to do a root cause analysis.
What's the cause of it?
What's the cause of it? And how do we address that? Don't just let those root causes continue to drive this disease process so that you're worse in 6 months when you get the follow-up ultrasound. So what we know, I mean, this is from work at Harvard at Massachusetts General Hospital with Alessio Fasano. He found that with autoimmune disease, that there's three different components. It's a three-legged stool. The first is genetic predisposition. The second is increased intestinal permeability, so-called leaky gut. Mm-hmm. And the third is a trigger, some kind of trigger. And that trigger could be trauma. It could be toxic stress. Mm-hmm. It could be getting COVID. It could be one of many things. But that tends to push you over the edge and lead to autoimmune disease or even the precursor to it, which I think of as autoimmunity.
Yeah, getting COVID or getting injected with vaccination.
And we know, for instance, that women in perimenopause, so that's all of us kind of 40 to 60, assigned female at birth, we know that that's where you see the highest rates of vaccine reactions. And so the immune system is changing so dramatically, mm-hmm, the adaptive immune system, the innate immune system, and you then superimpose a vaccine in that situation, and that's where you get adverse reactions.
Well, I want to talk about that because in the perimenopause, we know that we're getting declining progesterone levels significantly, and that is such an immune protectant. So what is happening? Why is it causing, are we more susceptible perimenopause to autoimmunity?
Well, there's this huge immunometabolic shift that's happening kind of under the hood. And so we don't know the details of exactly what hormones are causing which problem, but we know that estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA are critical immune modulators. So that's occurring. It occurs in the context of often some big life changes. So, you know, for you and I, my youngest daughter just went off to college. Thankfully, she's here in Dallas. Yeah, so we've got these huge life changes. I've got an empty nest. You still have a couple years before you'll have an empty lot. Yeah, not that we're counting. And then
I'm like counting till she gets her driver's license.
Right.
I'm like, pray.
Step one. And then we've got, you know, I went through a divorce in the past year. So we've got, you know, sometimes the empty nest kind of prompts this reevaluation of whether your marriage is as satisfying as it could be. So we've got this overlay of huge lifestyle changes. We're taking care of parents that are older. My parents moved just during the pandemic to assisted living. There's a lot of increased care that's needed. So you've got that whole context. And then you've got these big immunometabolic changes. And, you know, one thing I see pretty routinely, and I talk about this a lot in the book, there's a chapter on immunomodulators, is that the patients that I see, men and women, with autoimmunity often have a low DHEA. So a DHEA less than 100, I see that routinely on patients with autoimmunity and autoimmune disease. Do you see that too?
Definitely.
Have you noticed that?
Definitely. And, you know, low adrenal function in general, and usually a flatline or insufficient amounts of cortisol. So those two, you know, I often see, and that contributing to the autoimmune.
Which tracks with, you know, the effect of toxic stress and sometimes trauma. So we know that for people with post-traumatic stress disorder, that this is the pattern that we see, often low cortisol throughout the day. Often we see, you know, the flat diurnal pattern, which is where cortisol just doesn't rise within 30 to 60 minutes of waking up the way that it's supposed to. That flat cortisol curve is the most immune dysregulating. So we see that kind of pattern, you know, when Rachel Yehuda first started to see this pattern with low cortisol in Vietnam veterans, she studied this such a long time ago. She was kind of surprised about that, but it makes sense. It's kind of this burnout phase that you're talking about.
Yeah, and I think it's that, you know, that survival phase that your body gets to because you keep making so much cortisol, it's frying out your system. So being able to suppress that cortisol is a, you know, is life-saving in that instance. So you're not in constant high cortisol, causing high glucose, resulting in, you know, other chronic problems and also depletion of many of our sex hormones. So I think there's that piece with PTSD, but also that cortisol opposing oxytocin. So then you get to that state that is what in my work that recognize that low cortisol, low oxytocin state, which is isolation, depression, you know, disconnect. And that's dangerous as well. So what are some of the things that we can do to improve our immune system, especially in perimenopause and menopause?
Well, first, you want to recognize that your immune system is in distress. So there's a chapter on testing, the kind of tests that probably your conventional doctor is not going to order, but can really
help you. What are some of
those? So I like to look at the anti-nuclear antibody. I like to look, I always screen everyone for thyroid function. And as part of that, I do thyroid peroxidase antibodies, anti-thyroid globulin. I do some additional tests like rheumatoid factor. And I've got the whole panel in the book. Those are just a few that I like to look at. I look at the neutrophil to lymphocyte ratio. It's a way to assess inflammation, which comes from the immune system. So those are some of the things I like to measure because, as you know, from the walk we went on where I was forcing you to do all the steps that I'm trying to track each
8,000 per day.
At least 8,000 per day.
Are we there yet?
Plus our weight training. So what you measure improves. And we know that anti-nuclear antibody has been on the rise for Americans. It's increased about 16%, especially in adolescents and men. You know, there's a reason for that. Our environment.
Is it distinct for Americans versus
Well, I don't know that it's been studied in other populations, but it's definitely a huge increase for Americans over the past 20 to 30 years. And we also know that our environment has changed. You know, our food system has changed, the kind of stressors that we're under, that cortisol oxytocin that you were just referencing. I can't think of a worse perfect storm than the pandemic in terms of the cortisol and oxytocin issues. And then in terms of solutions, I love to start with immunomodulators. I like to start with a really specific elimination diet. And I like to do that rigorously. I think a lot of people do it for maybe a week or two or 3 weeks, and then they sort of give up and they don't do the most important part, which is adding food back and seeing what you react to. I like to consider, especially if there's trauma or toxic stress, psychedelic-assisted therapy.
Okay.
So I'm certified as a psychedelic-assisted provider of these medicines, these sacred medicines, and I've got a chapter in the book about it because when you look at some of the treatments for things like post-traumatic stress disorder or even partial PTSD, subthreshold PTSD, when you look at talk therapy, it only has an efficacy of about 30%.
Yeah.
And the medications that are FDA approved for PTSD are things like, you know, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. They also have an efficacy of around 30%.
Or when, less.
Or less.
10%.
Yes. Yeah. And then when you look at, you know, the two phase three randomized trials that have been done with MDMA for PTSD, moderate to severe PTSD, the efficacy is 67 to 71% are then free of the diagnosis of PTSD after 2 to 3 treatments. So it's a total game changer.
Yeah.
And more people need to know about it because it is coming our way. And we need to know how to use these medicines to help people heal.
And how to use it safely, and also to find ethical providers that are trained in an ethical way. So for instance, so with ketamine therapy, so how do you know, okay, is this provider, there's definitely a black market out there.
Well, you need to look for certifications. You need to look for, I think right now we're in this weird kind of wild west when it comes to psychedelic assisted therapy and these medicines where you want to, I think you need to go to a clinician who is board certified, who's licensed, who's got the kind of training to work with trauma or to work with these healing states of consciousness in a way that is trustworthy and they do it with integrity. So I think looking for certifications, there's a lot of different organizations that offer certifications now. And I think you also have to be careful of a profit motive. Because right now there's ketamine clinics, at least in California, that are popping up on every street corner. And I think this idea that you go in, you get your ketamine IV or your ketamine shot, and they leave you alone on a gurney or, on a sofa alone in a room with no therapy. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's not the treatment that's really going to help you.
Because that concept of integration and being able to have that therapy and integrate what comes up during that session and, where to put it. Where it goes from there. So in your own work, in your own life, how has it helped you?
Oh, it's helped me so much. Oh my gosh. Makes me get a little misty thinking about it because I grew up with a lot of trauma. I have a adverse childhood experiences score of 6, which is high. So I've got more than 45 chronic diseases that are increased associated with the exposure to trauma that I had as a child. And that includes, divorced parents when I was a year old and some other things that the ACE questionnaire, which was originally developed by the Centers for Disease Control and Kaiser Permanente. This is something that everyone can measure. You can just Google the ACE questionnaire. Maybe we can link to it in the show notes. So I want everyone to know their ACE score. But once you know your ACE score, then you really want to look at, okay, who did I have to be to get love and attention as a child? And that then helps you understand how your authentic self started to split off into this persona. And so for me, I was an overperforming, hyper-independent, self-reliant, straight-A student. And that got me pretty far, right? It got me through medical school. It got me through residency. It got me into this career in medicine that I love so much. But there's a cost to it, especially as a mother to two daughters that are 24 and 18. In my marriage, there was a cost to it. And one of the things that I would do a lot is dissociate. And I'm talking about functional dissociation. I'm not talking about multiple personality. I'm talking about, the way that I would just go cognitive as a way of dealing. And I think when I first met you, I was pretty dissociated. You were always full of love and fun. And I was the one reading a book in the corner. So psychedelic assisted therapy, mostly with ketamine, has really helped me be able to see my dissociation, see some of these older patterns that helped me survive childhood, but no longer help me.
No longer serve you.
How about you?
So I think that for me, looking at when you say, who did I have to become to get love and affection? It's really fascinating because I think with compassion and thinking about, some of the trauma that's happening too in the Middle East, specifically between Palestine and Israel, it's who did they have to who do you have to become to justify this type of genocide or massacre? Who do you have to become to do that? And for me, just thinking of growing up, I grew up with parents that loved me, that were just poured love into me. My father was somewhat absent because he worked two jobs in order to provide for us, but he was our weekend dad and was just really amazing in that way to support and provide. So I looked at that. And then I recognized too, I needed to be, my mom would say, get your education so you don't put your hand out to anyone. So for me, it was education. And that's been part of what's driven me and what aspects I love. But the trauma of losing my son, the trauma of, having such a strong faith in God and then losing my mother and then losing my son, led me to a whole nother survival sequence. And so working through that, working for me was with EMDR and, you know, working through that trauma, recognizing when I had PTSD, it took me years to recognize that I had PTSD. So it was just living in this, maybe, you know, barely functional or hyper functional workaholic mode because that was my survival regimen. So healing from that journey has been, is still my walk. It's still like, okay, what's next? So what will I experience when I do try ketamine? Well, how will that be? Yeah.
Well, it's so vulnerable to share these things.
Yeah.
I so appreciate you being honest. And I think it really helps others to understand that, you know, pretty much at this time in life, no one has survived without some exposure to trauma. And for you to share about your own just means so much. It's such an important service. And yeah, you know, I feel like it's on us to realize that for some of us, myself included, trauma increases my risk of autoimmunity. And that's not true for everyone. Not everyone with autoimmune disease has a history of trauma. Not everyone with autoimmunity has been exposed to toxic stress. But there's a pretty clear through line.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the story for you, it can really make a difference to work to resolve that trauma and to, you know, to work with your PINE system, your psychoimmunoneuroendocrine system, to heal. So, you know, one of the things that I found this association between trauma and autoimmune disease in my own practice, I've been noticing it for the past 5 years. And then as I turned the spotlight on myself, I found, oh, wow, my anti-nuclear antibodies are really elevated. And I went through the protocol that I have in the book, and they're now negative.
Nice.
So, you know, that's anecdotal information. That's not the highest quality of evidence, but it really helps us to go in this direction of, you know, creating these healing states of consciousness and understanding what's the role of functional and integrative medicine to help us create the kind of healing that we most need.
And I think one of the things that I see you doing is this practice, right? It's also always learning, being introspective and extra. Where do you see this? How, you know, and reflecting it on you. And I think one of the lessons I learned through like some of the spiritual connections, we meet someone that we see something of ourselves through them or something we need to learn about ourselves through them. It's a give and a take in every relationship. There's that give and take. And so, and it's true with our own bodies, you know, if we are constantly negative or have these, you know, these negative patterns or negative energy in us, it's going to have an effect on our own body. So your book, tell me where we can get your book and follow and learn more. And also you see clients, so how they can see you directly too.
So the book is called The Autoimmune Cure. You can get it wherever books are sold. You can one click it on Amazon. It's available for pre-order. It'll be on sale March 12th. My website is sarahgoffreidmd.com. That's kind of the mothership. So there should be we'll have a page to get some special bonuses for people who buy a copy of the book. And, you know, my social media, my Instagram is where I tend to hang out the most. I think of it as, you know, sort of this living lab where we're all learning together. And I'll be talking a lot about the book there and doing Instagram lives. Hopefully you'll do one with me. And yeah, so that's how you can get the book.
So you guys check out drsarahgoffrey.com and her book at Amazon or wherever you buy books, The Autoimmune Cure. Absolutely. Okay. Autoimmune Cure. Cause it goes alongside because her first, you know, I don't know if it was your first New York Times bestseller, but the
Hormone Cure.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is the autoimmune book. Cure. So trailblazer leading the way for so many of us in medicine and just those that are looking to find the next right step and what to do in their life. Sarah, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Is
one thing that, you know, people can do today that's going to help them with their autoimmune system or their immune system?
Do I have to just give one thing? Can I give two things?
You can give two things.
So two things. Number one.
Feeling generous.
Oh, good. So number one, do the ACE questionnaire. Know what your ACE score is. It's critical. You got to do an inventory. Start there. Number two, I would say check your DHEA level. I think it's so critical to know what that is. A lot of people have no idea, and yet they're getting it measured. So get your DHEA checked. I think
so
it's
DHEAS in the blood, DHEA in the
saliva. That's right. That's right. So check your DHEA and, you know, see if you're at risk. If you've got that burnout phase with a DHEA that's low, well, read my book. I've got all the solutions listed in there.
I love it. Thank you so much for being on with me. And thanks for hanging out with me. You
know, of course.
She's staying. I'm like, get out of your workout clothes. Come down and be on video with me. And she did. So, and there's so much wisdom in this beautiful woman and as a trailblazer for all of us in the health space and leading women in this journey as well as men. And I encourage all of you to check out her book, The Autoimmune Cure, and follow her on social media, Dr. Sarah Gottfried. And please put your questions, you know, put your questions wherever you're listening to us. If it's on YouTube, in the comment section, we will get to them and answer them as well as in the podcast. I appreciate all of you being here today. And I thank you. I love you. God bless you. Till next time.